Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello and Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Kedushin Daf Ches. We are right on top of the Amud at the first line, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef tells us, look, Mina Aminala, how do I know that in fact this is true? What is this going back to? So at the end of yesterday's Daf, Rav Yosef taught us a Chiddush. This fellow attempted to be Mekadesh and Isha using a roll of silk material, but its value, its worth, was not yet determined. It wasn't yet appraised at the time of the Kiddushin. It doesn't work. Why? Says Rav Yosef, look, by Kiddushin, the Pasuk says Kesef. Right? We learn from Sedei Ephraim, right? We need actual money. Nasati Kesef Asada Kach Mimeni. So, sure, you can use something which has monetary value as well. Shave Kesef. You can use a coin, you can use silk material, but just as the coin's worth, its value is set and determined and known, likewise, Shave Kesef has to have that same property. Shave Kesef is like Kesef. And just like Kesef is Kitz, it has a set value. Shave Kesef has to have a determined worth prior to using it for the Kiddushin. So you must appraise it before using it. Amar Rav Yosef, how do I know this tremendous Chiddush? Mena Aminila. That you must appraise before using it. The Sanyo, we have a Braisa which discusses an Eved Ivri, if one owns a Jewish slave. And the Pasuk says, look, the slave somehow acquired funds and wants to redeem himself, he may do so. So the full Pasuk reads like this, Im Oid Rabbeis Beshanim, Lefihen Yashiv Geula, Soy Mikesef Miknasoy. So he's sort of giving his owner a refund. Mikesef Miknasoy. We learn from here, Bekesef hu nikne. So if he's returning part of that money which the owner paid to purchase the Eved, Mikesef miknos, some of the money used to purchase the Eved, this teaches us that, you know, you can use money to buy an Eved, right? Because he's returning some of that purchase money. Apparently money can be used to purchase an Eved to begin with. Bekesef hu nikne, so the Eved can be purchased, can be acquired with actual money, but ve'enoy nikne b'tvor b'keil. We can't use grains or fruits or produce or utensils to buy an eved. Why? Asks the Gemara, hay tvor b'keil heichidami. What do you mean to say you can't use tvor, you cannot use keilim? Ilema delay miknubu klal. Do you mean to say that you can't use these items to purchase an Eved Ivri at all, under all circumstances? Why? The Pasuk indicates that you can use any item, any utensil. Yashiv Geulasa Amarachmana. We have a drasha. I could have said, Lefian Geulasa, says Rashi. Why do you have to say Yashiv? He can return, meaning we're speaking about we're including additional potential here. Amarachmana, Lerabu is Shove Kesef Ke Kesef. The fact that the Pasuk says Yashiv Geulasa Amarachmana, this teaches us that money isn't the only means to purchase or to redeem himself. You can even purchase the Eved with Shave Kesef, something that has monetary value, like Tevuah V'Kelim. So what's wrong with using Shave Kesef? L'Rabbi Shave Kesef K'Kesef. V'Deles Bu Shave Pruta. Now, we're assuming that these items have value, right? At least the minimum monetary value, which is typically a pruta. It's the smallest amount of value, which is considered, something with monetary worth. Okay? So if it has no shava pruta, my area tefuah v'kelim, so why specify? Why single out tefuah v'kelim as ineligible items for purchasing an eved? I feel kesef nami lai. Even actual money, if it's a coin worth less than a pruta, it can't be used for purchase. Elo lav de isbu shavar pruta. Oh, so apparently these items, the tefuah v'kelim, have value. Have a pruta of value. So why can't you use them to buy an eved? Oh, this proves my point, says Rav Yosef. V'chiban de loy kaitzi. Loy, we're speaking that it wasn't appraised. And therefore, you cannot use it to, it can't serve as a substitute for Kesef. And that's the point of the price, exactly as I'm promoting, says Rav Yosef, that Shava Kesef has to have a set determined value. Otherwise, you can't use it in lieu instead of money. Now, Rabba did not really accept Rav Yosef's chiddush. So what does he do with this price, which indicates that you need ketzitza, you need an appraised value, you need a determined worth. Hachi Kamar, the Braisa didn't mean that. Rather, the Braisa means like this. B'teiras kesef hu nikne. You want to purchase an Eved Ivri, you can acquire him with either actual money or any other item which serves in lieu of money. Basically, you can sort of buy him by paying his value. That works. Whatever you use to pay that value, whether it's money or whether it's shava kesef, teres kesef nikne ve'ein nikne b'teres tzvuv ve'kelim. But you can't make a kinyan on this evidence. You can't get him using a system which typically uses items and tzvuv ve'kelim u'mayninu. What system is that? Chalipin. You know, chalipin, that's the type of kinyan we discussed back on the Afkim, the swap, the exchange. Totally different system. It's not value for value. You can even use something which is almost valueless. Like today at the weddings, you know, they use a pen or a, right? So, tefuah v'kelim were typically used for chalipin. Rashi brings the pasuk in Rus. He pulled off his shoe. It says kol davar, other items, food, other foods. Bottom line is, these items are typically used for chalipin, and that's not a system for an eved. You can't buy an eved with chalipin. It doesn't work. That's all the Rashi is telling you. Make sure you work with the money track. Either you give money or something which is shava kesef, right? So pay his value and buy him, but you can't just swap him with chalipin. That's all the Bryce is saying. But when you use shava kesef, it can be something which has a set value or not a set value, a determined value or not. It doesn't make a difference. Now, Rav Nachman, the question is, according to Rav Nachman, the Omar Peres le'avdi chalipin. You see, Rav Nachman has a shita that the only thing you can do chalipin with is a kli. You can never use fruit and you know, grain. So according to him, the Bryce evidently is not alluding to, is not trying to rule out chalipin. Michael Lemaire, so according to him, how do you explain the Bryce? The Bryce says, well, don't use tefuah v'kelim. We learned. Don't use chalipin, which is typically associated with tefuah v'kelim. According to Rav Nachman, it's not associated with tefuah v'kelim. You can't use tefuah for chalipin, so it's not a reference to chalipin. So what's the Bryce teaching us here? Rather, when the Bryce ruled out tefuah v'kelim to be used for kinyan, it meant tefuah v'kelim are not worth much, less than a pruta. So your question was, why focus on tefuah v'kelim? Uduka Amris, regarding your question, my area tefuah v'kelim, why single out these items? I feel the kesef nami, even if it's actual coins, money, less than a pruta is worthless. Can't be used for a kinyan, so why single out tefuah v'kelim? You're right. It was just a way of expressing itself. The Braisa was just sort of building up. It goes without saying. It goes without saying that using actual money, which is less than a pruta, doesn't work. The isbe shava pruta in, if it has a pruta worth, fine, iloi, but otherwise not. That's pretty simple. That's not a chiddush. It goes without saying. The chiddush is, avot tvu v'kelim, when it comes to something which is actually useful, tvu v'kelim, you can have immediate access to its functionality, to its use, to consuming the food, etc. So perhaps that makes up for lack of value. Ema, perhaps I would suggest, mid the kurv hano'asayu, since the hano'a is so close at hand, it's so accessible, in contrast to money, which can only be used to buy and to purchase, it's sort of two steps away. Here it's so close to the actual benefit, gomer makni nafshe, so perhaps giving the tefuah v'kelim to an eved facilitates his kinyan. He just gives himself away, even though it's less than a pruta, because it's so valuable, k'mashmon, the chiddush is no. You're employing kinyan kesef, needs to have that minimum value, which is a pruta. So bottom line is, Rabbi Yosef attempted to bring a raya to his concept that shava kesef has to have a known, determined worth and value prior to being used for a kinyan, and we refuted, or we sort of did away with the raya. Amar Rabbi Yosef, here comes another raya. Mina, how do I know? I'll provide a source to my concept. The Sanya, we have a brisa. Egel zel pinya bni. Turns to the kohen. He says, look, I have a firstborn child, a bachur. Take this nice-looking calf in exchange for the instead of the 5 coins I must give you for the pinya ben. Or he says, talus zel pinya bni. Take this garment for the pidyon haben, and he gives it to the kohen. Lo yomar klum. Well, it doesn't work. It's not considered a redemption. But egel zeh b'chamish slaim l'pidyoni. Take this egel which is worth 5 slaim, or talis zu b'chamish slaim l'pidyon bni. In this case, b'nai padi, it works. Now, let's analyze the brayso. What's the difference between case A and case B? Hai pidyon hechadami. What exactly happened in this redemption process? Ilam d'loy shavi. Are we speaking that these items are not worth the 5 sela, which is the minimum requirement, which is the required amount for pidyon haben? Kol kaminia, so how can he make a pidyon if it's not worth 5? Elolav, apparently we're speaking, afagav d'shavi. Sure, these items were worth the required value, the required chamish slaim value. But the difference is that in the ration, the first set of cases, he didn't explain that to him. He didn't tell him how much it's worth. He left it up to his imagination. Take this calf. How much it's worth, I'm not telling you. The kibin delay kaitzi, and since it wasn't determined, it wasn't clear how much it's worth, loy, it doesn't work. So we see that an undetermined, unclear situation cannot work instead of money. It's a writer of Yasif's concept. Loy, no, perhaps not. Loy, loy, shavu, was speaking that these items really don't have 5 sela of value. So how can it work in the second part of the brayso when he presented it as though it was? He says, look, take this for the 5 sela. Speaking that the kain was fully aware that it's worth less, but he accepted it upon himself. He says, look, I'm valuing it. You know, in my perspective, this thing is worth 5 sela. Right? Basically, he agreed to accept it, even though it's worth less than 5. He accepted it as 5, as though it's 5. Kihada Rav Kahana, as we have a story of Rav Kahana, who was apparently a Kayin, Shakl Sudram Be Pidyon HaBen. So he was being honored as the Kayin by the Pidyon HaBen. He took this turban, which the Chachamim would wear. And even though it wasn't really worth 5 sela, Amar, he says, look, you know, to me it's worth a 5 sela. So it works. You know, Taitz has a kasha. It seems that Rav Kahana was a kohen, but brings a Gemara in Pesachim that he wasn't a kohen. So first he says maybe there were two Rav Kahanas, and then he says that perhaps he was not a kohen, but his wife was a kohen. And he was accepting the Pidyon HaBen on account of his wife. So she's married to a non-Kohen, and she still retains her yichus that she can serve as a Kohen by Pidyon HaBen. Very interesting thesis. Amar Rav Ashi, Lo Yamaran. When do we say that this sort of upgrade is allowed? Treating something of lesser value as though it's more valuable. El Kegon Rav Kahana. Like Rav Kahana, the Gavra Rabu, he was a great man, a chashev man, and he really could use this turban, so to him it was really worth more. When we buy the Surya Resh, he needs a turban for his head. Abukula Amale, but an ordinary person, a turban, it's not worth 5 sela. Even if he pretends it is, it's not really worth him the 5 sela. Kihad the Mabar of Ashi, like we find with this Amora, Zavan Sudra Me'ime de Rabba Mikubi. He purchased this Sudr from the mother of Rabba Mikubi, Kshavi Asara Betlesa. It was really worth 10. He paid 13 because he was desperate, because he needed it, as per his stature. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar. He's gotcha libimana. He approaches the Isha. Be mekudesh to me with a mana. Mana is 100 dinar. There really is no coin called a mana. It means to say it's 100 dinar. And he only gave her one at a time. Venosin la dinar. He gave her 1 coin. Haruzim kodeshes. Mazel tov, the kedushin works, but he has to go pay up the rest later. V'yashlim, he has to pay it off. That's his obligation. That's like a tonight, like a condition. But as soon as she takes possession of the first coin, the kedushin is chal, is activated. My time of why? Kiva the amal amana. Since he said mana, v'yav la dinar, but only gave her a dinar. Kiman the amal amana, it's as though he said, look, I'm giving you one now, but the rest is coming later. It's almanas. V'amar v'namar rav, k'loim almanas. When you say almanas, k'loim amachshav dummy, it's like he said, look, it's effective immediately on condition that I pay you later. So the condition starts now. Although he only gave her one coin. Meisve, we have a kasha on that from a brisa, which indicates that until he's done paying all 100 coins, there's no kedushin. Haskasha li b'mana. Okay, you mekudesh to me with a mana. But you might have oilach, and he's counting to her. One coin, another, two, three, four. V'rot so echad mehen lachzer. Now, if one of the two parties here want to back off, afilu b'dinar achron, hirshus b'yoda, until the last, very last coin is handed over, they can change their mind. Apparently, there's no kedushin until it's fully paid. One coin is not enough. It's a kashan or a belazer. Answers the Gemara. Hachem Ma'eskinu was speaking to Amar b'mana zu. He specified this mana here, this pile of coins. That changes the equation. She's expecting the full mana. I'm waiting for it. But if he leaves it unspecified. I'm giving you a mana. She's not expecting it on the spot. That's Reb Lezer's case. But the Braisa is speaking b'mana zu. Asks the Gemara. One second. But if you look at the second part of the Braisa, we'll see in a minute, which discusses a specified mana, apparently, the first part of the Braisa is not a specified mana. Unlike your interpretation, Reisha b'mana stam. The Katan is safe. The Braisa continues. Amar lo, he tells her, Yiskatcha li b'mana zu. Be mekudesh to me with this mana, v'nimtza mana, chaser dina. Turns out, it's only 99 coins. Oedina shal nachoshes. One of the 100 was a copper coin, which is not really, doesn't qualify. In a Mekadeshes, it doesn't work. Dina Rahar is a Mekadeshes. If one of them turns out to be a low-quality coin, we'll see soon what that means. She's Mekadeshes V'yachli, but he has to go and fix it up and exchange it. So the Seifa, this second section of the Braisa, speaks about Manazu. Apparently the Reisha speak about a different case. Right? So it was unspecified Man, and still we say until she gets the last, very last coin, there's no kedushin. That's unlike Rabbi Lezer's chiddush. Lo, he says the Gemara Reisha v'Seifa d'Amar Manazu. Actually, the entire Braisa is speaking about one and the same case when he specified this here. He pointed to this pile of coins. Upurushkam Farish, and actually the Braisa is just explaining itself. Braisa begins. He's Mekadesha with this mana, and he's counting off the money. One, two, three. They can both change their mind until the very last coin is given over. Ketzad, why? What's the case? Exactly, because he specified this mana. This mana is different than mana stam. In fact, I'll support this interpretation. I'll prove my point that the Reisha and the Seifa are both speaking about a case of mana zu, which is different than Rabbi Lezer. It's no kashan Rabbi Lezer. We're speaking about a different type of case. This price is manazu, entirely from beginning to end is manazu. This is like a data, because if you'll tell me reisha b'mana stam, that part one of the price is speaking about an unspecified mana, it wouldn't work. You know why? Hashta b'mana stam, we have a kedushi. Once the price already teaches us that by a mana stam, still you have to wait until the last coin is handed over, why does the Braisa even have to continue discussing Manazu, which is a lesser chiddush? If he specified, look, this entire bundle is yours, until, of course she has to get the entire thing. But Manazu Meboy, is there any need to speak about Manazu? It wouldn't make sense that the Braisa would go from a bigger chiddush to a lesser chiddush. So the Gemara, no, Imishim Halayir, this wouldn't prove anything. No, maybe the Reisha speaking about Manistam, and the Seifa about Manazu. Tano Seifa Leglita Reisha. And in fact, the second part of the Braisa is merely revealing to us the correct interpretation, the correct context of the Reisha. What does that mean? Shaloi Taima, you shouldn't even entertain that notion, that Reisha b'manazu, that the Reisha is speaking about a specified mana, and that's why you have to complete the entire handover. Aba b'manastam, but if it was just an unspecified mana, have a kedushin, then even by giving her just one coin at a time and leaving the rest for later, it would be kedushin. No, don't think so. That's why it says, Tano Seifa b'manazu. That's why the Braisa continues with a case discussing manazu, which tells you that apparently up until now, meaning part A of the Braisa, Mechal the Reisha is speaking about b'manastam, an unspecified mana. And still, what does the Braisa tell you? Even by an unspecified mana, until you're done the entire mana, until she gets the very last coin, the Kedushin has not yet been activated. That's a steer to Rabbelazer. Afilu hochel av kedushin. So bottom line is, perhaps the brisa is akasha on Rabbelazer, but we're not really sure. Rav Ashi Omar, he says like this: the brisa is not akasha to Rabbelazer. Remember, the brisa is speaking that he's counting it off. Moina v'hoilach shani. Even by monis tam. But if he's counting, 1, 2, 3, she's waiting. She's expecting the entire thing. The data, akulik, she's expecting everything. As opposed to Rebeleza's case, where he's not counting money. He says, look, I have a mana for you. Take a coin, and he walks away. So it's a condition, because she knows that he'll pay it off later. It's just a condition. It's a tonight that Yapma must fulfill. But the masa condition is completed and fulfilled with the handover of that one single coin. So bottom line, before we continue and elaborate further on this brisa, Rogleza says a chiddush here. You mekudosh to me for a mana. He gives her one coin. The kedushin is chal immediately, but he has to fulfill his condition later. What if he says mana zu? Even Rogleza would agree that she's waiting for the entire thing to be given over to. Until then, there's no kedushin. Rav Ashi has a new twist. Even mana stam, but if he's counting them out, 1, 2, 3, 4, then it's one masa. From beginning to end, you have to wait until the last coin is handed over, and then you have the kedushin. Now, the brisa mentioned that there was something wrong with the coins. There was a copper coin involved, and therefore it doesn't work. What exactly happened with the copper coin? If she noticed it, she was okay with it. She accepted it. It's fine. Apparently, they gave it to her at night. She didn't notice it. Or, you know, she wasn't paying attention and she discovered it amongst the Zuzim. And therefore, we say she was gypped. There's no Kaddush. The next case was a bad coin. Well, don't do it. And, you know, it works, but you have to go and switch it up. Hey, Chidami, what exactly happened? Either loy nafik. If this bad coin cannot pass for currency, then hainu dinush al nechayshit, then it's exactly like dinush al nechayshit, meaning it doesn't have the proper value. Of course it doesn't work. Amar papa gugud de nafik like de'at chak. We're speaking that it has value. It's legal tender, but, you know, maybe it's scraped up a bit, and, you know, they were very particular about the form of their coins, and it was perhaps flattened a bit and scraped off, missing some of the actual material, and therefore it's not an easily, you know, it's not over the seicher. You know, the merchants, avoid these coins, and therefore we say, look, it's not exactly what she had in mind, but technically speaking, it still has value. So the kedushin is chal, but you have to go switch it up to satisfy her. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Amar Rav Nachman. Listen to this case. Amar Allah, he tells her, "Iskan chili b'mana." Okay. Be mekudesh to me for a money. But instead of giving her money, he gives her a mashkein. V'yineach la mashkein aleha. He gives her collateral. He never gave her money. He never made the kinyan kesef. He's already making collaterals and backups. That doesn't work. Ein mekudeshes. You know why? You know, a collateral is good when you owe the person, when you took money from a person. You can say, look, this is a backup for that money. This collateral sort of encompasses and encapsulates my obligation to you which resulted from me taking money from you, right? But here, all he said was, look, I owe you a mana. Words are cheap. Doesn't really owe it to her. So a mashkin is worthless. What is a mashkin doing? It's serving as a backup for what? A collateral for what? For a verbal commitment? That's not kinyan kesef. Ain't a makadesh. It's mana income, mashkin income. Look, he never gave her any money. And therefore the mashkin does nothing. Sorry, let me just take that back. Mana inkan, he didn't give her any money. So he made no kinyan kesef. Right? And therefore, mashkin inkan. There is no mashkin either. Rashi says, Hilkoch mashkin. Meaning to say, he didn't give her the mashkin as a matana. He didn't give it to her instead of kesef. So basically, he didn't give her kesef, nor did he give her a gift. He made a verbal commitment. I'm going to give you the mana. That's not called giving her money. That's a verbal commitment. I'm going to give you. So that's out. And the mashkin wasn't either given to her. It was just serving as a backup, as a guarantee that I'm going to fulfill that verbal commitment. So in effect, she didn't get anything. She didn't get any kinyan kesef. There needs to be a transfer of money. And there was none. Esvi Rav Rav Nachman, I have a kasha to you. Kitchub mashkin mekadesh. The Brisa says clearly, you can mekadesh an isha with a mashkin. Oh, totally different story. Hosam b'mashkin da'achirim. Listen to this story. What happened was, Reuven had lent Shimon money. Okay, Shimon borrowed money from Reuven and gave him a mashkin as a collateral. Gave him his car. Right? But it's so different than our case. Shimon actually took money from Reuven. Right? And now this mashkin is in Reuven's possession to guarantee that loan. It's representing that loan. It encapsulates that loan. He can fall back on this car and keep it. He has sort of partial ownership on that car. It sort of contains, it encompasses his claim against Shimon, his real claim which resulted from me giving money to Shimon, right? Totally different story. Now, he takes that mashkin and gives it to the Isha as Kiddushin. That works. Because as Rashi explains, he was Mekadesh with the Chayiv. There was money in that collateral. He owns that collateral, so to speak, in exchange of his Chayiv. He's a part owner on that mashkin, and that's what he's giving to the Isha. That's a totally different case. You know, Rav Baruch Ber in Bruch HaShmol says, this is a world famous quote, this phrase that everybody knows in yeshiva, in the mashkin, inside the mashkin, licht dem chayv, lies the loan, the debt. The mashkin encompasses the debt. It encapsulates the debt. It represents the debt. So, when I'm giving her that mashkin, I'm giving her the credit, so to speak, that I credited Shimon. The loan that I gave Shimon. That claim against Shimon. That monetary claim is now being transferred to the Isha. That's a nice gift. Now she owns the mashkin and the chayiv within it, and the chayiv that it represents. She has the claim against Shimon, which is within that mashkin. That's called giving you something of monetary value. Book of Rabbi Yitzchak. Like Rabbi Yitzchak tells us. What does he tell us? Book of Rabbi Yitzchak. Don't Rabbi Yitzchak. Menai lo bal chayiv shekayin mashkin. How do I know that a bal chayiv who lends money and takes a mashkin in return is actually a part owner on that mashkin? Shenemar v'lochati etzdaka, the pasuk speaking about a generous lender who actually allows the loaner to loiva to take back his mashkin when he needs to use it, and the Torah gives him credit. It's tzedaka. It's a very nice thing that you're being generous with his mashkin. You're allowing it back. It may not kind of look if the bal chayv has no ownership, he's not responsible for it. He's not a part owner on the mashkin. Then tzedaka menayin, why is he getting credit like he gave tzedaka? It's not even his item. We learn from here that he really owns that mashkin. So therefore, giving the Isha this mashkin is considered giving her something, as opposed to the first case where, out of the blue, he approaches the Isha. He says, look, I'm giving you a mana for Kiddushin, and instead of the mana, I'm giving you a mashkin. Well, there was no kinyan kesef. Mashkin is serving as a backup for a verbal commitment that he gave her. That's not worth much. There's no actual transfer of money. It doesn't work. And then she's not kind of the mashkin in that case, as we explained, because he doesn't really owe her the money. She can maybe blackmail him by holding on to that mashkin, but she's not really an owner of that mashkin. She's not really kind of the mashkin. There's no monetary ownership of that mashkin. Because she never gave him anything for which she got that mashkin. It was just a verbal commitment that he made to her. So even though this mashkin is going to force him perhaps to give the money, but until that happens, he hasn't really given her anything to own. Says the Gemara another similar story, which brings out this concept. Bnei Rav Huna Bar Avin, the sons, the children of Rav Huna Bar Avin, Zovin, Hay Amsa Bepriti. So they went to purchase this maidservant with Prutos Shal Nachoshes. Rashi says the copper coins. They didn't have access to the coins at that point, so they presented a collateral. Oisivui Nascha Alei Allah. They took, you know, a bar of silver to serve as a collateral. So again, same story. They didn't actually give her any money, give the seller any money. It was just sort of a verbal commitment. They shook hands on the deal, but they never actually exchanged any funds. And they put some sort of temporary, present some sort of temporary collateral. There was no kinyan kasef. L'sayfi yakir amsa. Turns out that the maidservant went up in price. Right? Question is, who wins? Who gained on that deal? Was it already sold or not? Also, they came to Rav Ami. Amrlu, he says, no, nothing doing. Priti enka, naska enka. Look, did you give the? Did you hand over the prutes that you promised? No. So you haven't given over any purchase money, right? So although you gave, you know, some sort of collateral, but you didn't give that as payment. You were just doing it to secure the deal, right? But in actuality, there was no commitment. It was just a verbal commitment. So you never gave him anything. So bottom line is like this. Let's just clarify, you know, we have the two cases here. One works, one doesn't, right? The mashkin, the acherim works. Your own mashkin doesn't work. Again, why? And the answer is very clear. If you borrowed money and you handed a mashkin to the Baal Chayv assumes ownership of that mashkin, so to speak. To a certain extent, he's responsible, he's Chayv and Oynes, and he can hold on to the mashkin as his if you don't repay it, and he's an owner at this point. Because you own that money. The mashkin represents the Chayv. The mashkin represents his claim. So he's sort of taking possession of his claim. He has a right to do that. That's the essence of mashkin. That's how it works. So when he takes that and gives it to the Isha, he's giving her something. Something that he owns, now being transferred to the Isha. As opposed to the Mekadesh b'mashkin. As opposed to buying a maid servant with a mashkin. Totally different story. All he did to the Isha, or all they did to the seller or the maid servant was commit to the deal. They don't owe him money. They just committed to the deal. A verbal commitment. There's no really a schaivus. So although they took some item and they used that as a collateral to back up the deal, to serve as a guarantor on the deal. But that mashkin is not a legal mashkin. Because there was no deal yet. Isha didn't lend the man any money to deserve a mashkin. The maidservant merchant did not give them anything to deserve a mashkin. So they haven't really received that mashkin. Legally, it's not theirs. So it's worthless. Tana Rabban. Hiskacheli b'mana, b'mekudosh to me by giving you a mana. And he gives her the mana. But she takes it and tosses it into the local sea. Not loss of zarkasagam, she throws it into the water. Oilu or into a fire, hold over Ovid, or any other form of destruction in him kodeshes, it's an outright rejection. I'm not interested in your kedushin. Have a nice life. Says the Gemara. Ha, shadisinu kame. So apparently, let's make a deal. She takes his money and tosses it in front of him, to his face. Have a kedushin. It works. It's a kedushin. Really? So only into the fire. It's not, but otherwise it is. Haka armale shakil. Laibina, look, she's telling him loud and clear, look, take back your money. I'm not interested in this gesture. So how can we say it's a kedushin? Let me buy you Amar. Actually, of course that's true. The Bryce is just using a form of expression. Let me buy you Amar. It goes without saying. Let me buy you. Needless to say, Shadisino Kameh, she tosses it right in front of his face. Love a kedushin, of course it's nothing. It's an outright rejection. But in a case where she throws it into the sea or the fire, Ema, perhaps I would say, Kiva de Machaiva Bahu. since she knows full and well that by destroying his money, she's going to have to pay him back. So perhaps, let's assume that she really wanted the Kedushin. Kedushi Kaddish Nafsha. She was being Mekaddish herself. Just the opposite. She planned on marrying him, but she wanted to first test him, test his temperament. Vahaduka Avdahachi, why did she execute this unusual gesture, this unusual response of throwing it into the fire? So she's figuring like this. She's a psychologist. If the Kelai Gavra, let me check him out. If I marry him, I have to know if he's a mensch. Irasachnahu Eloi, whether he has a temper or not. Let me see. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush says no. She goes to such an extent that throws it into the river. That's a riot, she's not interested. You know, there's a story of Chavetz Chaim with this Yid who wrote a sefer about savlonus, about patience, controlling one's anger. He wrote a whole sefer and he came to Chavetz Chaim for a haskama. Chavetz Chaim took a look at the sefer and he asks the author to please come back a bit later. Sure, no problem. Came back in the afternoon again for his haskama. Chavetz Chaim says, you know what, actually it's a bit, you know, come back tomorrow morning. Sure, no problem. Came back the next morning and again Chavetz Chaim delayed it. And this man started getting a bit edgy, you know, coming back again and again. Chavetz Chaim looked at him with a smile. He says, look, you know, a person writes a sefer and it's yata d'shmaya. I'm sure you want, you know, people to benefit from it, to learn from it. And for that, you need tremendous heavenly assistance. And, you know, in order to succeed in promoting patience and savlonus and controlling anger, the mechaber, the author of the sefer, you know, the words have to come from a person who's worked through in that field. In order for you to have an effect, to have an influence, you have to be one who is totally in control of his midos. And that's why I did this. I was just simply testing you again and again to see whether you yourself are worthy of promoting the concepts contained in your sefer. Well, now I'm not so sure. Maybe go back and work a little harder and come back when you're ready. I'll gladly give you an askama. Tana Ravon, Miskachali v'mana. So once again, he approaches the Isha. I want to be Mekadesh with a mana. Her response, Tanaim la'abu la'vicha. Okay, no problem. Give it to my father, your father. Is that an acceptance or a rejection? Right? That's the key question now, Sugya. We have to evaluate her responses. Is she consenting or rejecting? So this time she says, give it to my father. Give it to your father. Enim Kodesh, it doesn't work. She's just doing him away. Oh, leave me alone. Give the money to somebody else. And Rashi has a kasha. Rashi says, what do you mean? We had a sugya back on the Vav. Arev. Remember the sugya of Arev? And Isha approaches a man and says, look, instead of giving me the ring, give it to my friend. And I'll be Mekudosh to you. It works. Because it's as though he gave it to her. The fact that he's spending money on her behalf is considered as though he gave her the money. It's here as well. She's asking him to give the money to the relative. Let it be as though she received it. Rashi says a big difference. You see, in those cases, she had asked him. She approached him with the arrangement. But here, it was simply a response. Here's the money. Hey, give it to somebody else. Mishata anibach, says Rashi. Just poking fun at him. I'm not really interested in this whole deal. But, case B. Amanashi kablumli. Here's the money. Okay, sure. But give it to, on condition that my father or your father will accept it on my behalf. So basically she's considering them shluchim. She says, look, I'm willing to be miskalish to you on condition that they accept it on my behalf. In this case, Mekodesh is a works. Right? Now, it's totally different because here, she's serious about it. She's not just shooing him away. She says, look, give it to my father on condition that he accepts it for me, on my behalf. Then she's appointing him a shliach, and that works. Now, why does the Bryce have to mention my father and your father? What's the point? Tana Abba Ladiach HaKachadresha. The point of mentioning my father, the Isha's father, is to highlight the first halacha. that even though she's sending him off to his father, or give it to my father, even though it's her own father, it doesn't work. Tana Avicha, mentioning your father, the man's father, highlights the chiddush in the second part that it doesn't work. L'adicha koicha the seifa is highlighting the koicha of the second halacha, that when it was done on a serious note, on condition that he accepts it on my behalf, she's sort of appointing him as a shliach. So even though it's his father, it's where it works. The brisa continues with another variation of this halacha. Iskashli b'mana, okay, be mekudesh to me with a mana. And she responds, name leplani, give it to so-and-so. Any mekudesh doesn't work, because again, she's poking fun at him. Amanashi kabul me, on condition that he accepts it on my behalf. Mekudesh, he's merely a shliach, and therefore it works. Utsricha, why does the brisa have to go through all these variations? First we discuss parents, then we discuss strangers. Utsricha, each one contains a novelty. The Yashmin and Abba Vabicha, we only discuss part A of the brisa. My father, your father, Hassam, I would say over there, Hudichi Amram Nashi Kabul me Abakadushan there, I would say that in the second case where she asked that they receive it on her behalf, it works because, you know, she's confident that, in fact, her father or his father will do that job. The Samcha Da'ata Alayayu, she's relying on them, Sabr, she figures Abdan Lisha Chusay, they'll certainly accept it on my behalf, so she's secure in this process, she knows it's working, and she is Bimakadish herself. Aval Plani by a perfect stranger, that's the other case, like perhaps she's not really reliant on him, she doesn't know if he's going to comply, and therefore she's not really going into it with a clear conscience, with confidence, and it doesn't work. And therefore we have to mention that case as well, it works. V'yashmin and Pliny, if you only discuss the case of the stranger, I would say, hachahu d'chi amra, then Pliny, over there we say, well, in the case where he just shoot her away, give it to that person, love a kedusha, doesn't work, because she's not close to that person, that it be considered a gift to him coming from her, and therefore it's as though she accepted it. But when it comes to a close relative, my father or yours, to Makarva Daitel Gabai, where she's close to these people, Ema, so perhaps we can interpret what she said in a positive way. Perhaps it's an expression of acceptance. Ema b'matona yavisani alayu. Even though she's telling the potential suitor, the potential husband, look, give it away, give it to my father, your father. No, she's not just poking fun. She means it seriously. She wants to give them a gift. Tzricha, therefore the Brisa mentions all these cases. And the bottom line is, if it's an expression of acceptance, it works, but otherwise it doesn't. Tana Rabbanan. He's kachli b'mana. B'mekudesh to me with emana. And she responds, Tzneim al-gabi sela, put it on the rock. Ena mekudesh is, once again, it's an expression of rejection. But, v'mohya sela v'shala, she told him to put it on the rock that belongs to her, mekudesh, that's perfect kiddushin, because she asked him to put it in her rishos. Boyra bevi, what about sela shel shneim ha'u? What if the rock happened to belong to both of them, the man and the woman? And she asked him to place it on that rock. Ma, what is the halacha here? Take it, we leave it unresolved. Now, Tais has a kasha. It appears from Rashi that, Rashi says this clearly. Look at Rashi, three lines from the bottom. If it's her rock, it works. Why? Because it's like a chatzar. We had this in Gittin, right? Putting it in, you know, in your domain is as though it's in your hands. It's as though she personally accepted it. So, that's why it works. But if it's his rock, it doesn't. But if it belongs to both, we're not sure. Ask Tosis, take a look in the Gemara in Bava Basra. We see that a joint property, a chatzar that belongs to two partners, cannot be used for transfer between one party and the other because it's partially the other party's, right? So how can we use a Sela Shel Shneim? What's the Shaila in the Gemara, whether it works? So Tosis says that, you know, we're not speaking really about Kenyan chatzar, we're speaking about, you know, that if it's being put on her rock, she's soimach das, she sort of trusts and feels secure that this, you know, coin will end up in her possession. In fact, the rush adds a whole new twist. He says that, different than rush, he says that the coin is actually going to be placed in her pocket. She's actually going to take possession. But in the meantime, she's put on the rock. And if it's her rock, so it's an expression of acceptance. If it's his rock, she's just rejecting. Yeah, go put on your rock. But ultimately, she has to make the kinyan. And the question will be, in the third case, when it was a Sela Shel Shneim, says the Rush, you know, the two ways to look at it. It's partially his, so by her suggesting that be placed on that rock is sort of an expression of rejection, but it's really partially hers, so perhaps an expression of acceptance. So that's the suffix, and therefore it's teiku. Next case, is kachali b'kikar, here, be mekudesh to me with this loaf. She responds, Ne'ala kelev, give it to the dog. In a mekadeshes, it's an outright rejection. But, if it was her dog, you know, time of the Gemara, it seems like owning dogs was a very common thing. We have it in Pesachim, you feed the chametz to your dog. It's a very, very common thing. So feed it to my dog, so that benefits her. Saves her dog food, mekudeshes. So it works. But Rav Mari presents the following interesting question. Suppose she's walking down the street and this ferocious dog is chasing her, about to bite her. And when suddenly this Elio Navi shows up with this loaf of bread, right? Be mekudesh to me. A man, right? I'm just saying Elio Navi is a malach. Shows up at the right time. Perfect timing, right? Here's the loaf, and she says, look, give it to the dog. He's chasing me. Save me. Ma, what is the halacha here? Is it a kedushin or not? Shall we say? Perhaps yes. Bahua no. In exchange for this benefit, the kamatzla nafsha mineh, that she's sparing her life, she's sparing herself from this dog. Gamra mknaili nafsha, that's enough for her to give herself over to this man, meaning she got a very significant, tangible benefit. He saved her life. So perhaps it works. Edimu, perhaps he can say no. He's obligated. It's a mitzvah. He's not giving her anything. Hashem will pay him back. Matzi Amrali, she can tell him, look, Midei Raisa. Chiyuvim Mechayvis Latzulon. You know, the Torah obligates you to save me. Pasuk says, Lo Yisamoid Al Dam Reecha. One is obligated to protect his fellow Jew. So you haven't given me anything. In fact, you know, you're not allowed to accept payment for a mitzvah. Schar mitzvah b'hai amaleka. You get paid in the next world. So, you don't deserve this worldly payment for what you did. Beautiful thing, thank you, but it doesn't really have market value. And that's the buzzword when it comes to Kedushin. It has to have market value. She has to have received something with market value. It doesn't. It's a spiritual thing. Take it, we leave it unresolved. His Gashali B'kikr, another similar case. Be Mekudesh to me with this loaf of bread. Tnei Le'oni, give it to this poor man, the starving person. Any Mekudesh, it doesn't work. I feel only a samach Allah. Even if this poor man is dependent on this Isha for his sustenance, so this man is sort of alleviating her responsibilities, it doesn't work. My time, why? For a similar reason as before, Amrleish, because she can respond to this man, very nice, you did a mitzvah, but don't accept payment from me. I don't owe you anything. Ki hechad mechayvna lebei. I know, just like I am obligated to feed this poor man, likewise you are also mechayiv, you're also a Jew and chayiv and mitzvah stucker, so you haven't really given me personally anything. You gave the onions, very nice, and perhaps you saved me, you spared me a loaf of bread, but ultimately it was your mitzvah, and that's how it's going to stay. Okay, so in summary, we have Rav Yosef's Chiddush, Shava Kesef, like Kesef has to have determined value, known value. We tried to have two rayas from Brises, which didn't really pan out. We had the Chiddush that by Pidyon HaBen, you can actually upgrade the value of an item and consider it like 5 Sela. Rav Lezer says he offers her a money, but only hands her one coin, out of 100. The condition is Chal, pending his fulfillment of his condition, but the condition is effective immediately. However, if he said money zoo, this pile of coins, then we must wait it out until the last coin. Likewise, if he said money stam, but he's counting it, 1, 2, 3, we wait until number 100. Promising an isha money, but just giving her a mashkin is worthless unless the mashkin belongs to his friend. We had many, many examples of various expressions and responses, some of which are considered acceptances, and some are rejections. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabba.